Don't waste another year being the bottleneck to your own growth.
If you knew me yesterday, you don't know me anymore. I grow daily.
Stop being the one staring at your laptop on a Sunday night looking at the money that's the same as last year and probably the year before, and start, you know, feeling confident that you're in the year that's actually going to shift and actually going to change.
To go from leading a $700,000 a year business to a $1 million business, you can't be the jack of all trades anymore. And one thing that you absolutely need to be is...
Welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Hey, Joel. How's it going?
Hey, Chris.
Thanks for joining me today. So, imagine this. It's Sunday night. You've got your laptop open and you're staring at the business numbers and they're the same as last year.
Oh, no.
700K again, like that's about 13,000 a week. Give or take a few grand, but you know, basically the same, different year.
Not terrible.
Not terrible. But you've done like everything that you know how to do, like everything that you've ever learned in business, like you've done it, you've tried it all, you've scrolled on Instagram, you looked for some fresh ideas, you went to that workshop that your supplier put on and you learned some stuff, you tried that too. But just whatever you do, like revenue's not shifting, you're stuck.
Yeah.
So we thought we should do an episode about like why won't the revenue move, and we really want to tell you what the three things are that you're missing, because nobody else is going to tell you, right?
No, absolutely. And Riss, I think like for a lot of salon owners, they get stuck at 700k, around about that number that you talked about in the intro, and often they think that they need more clients, obviously more marketing. I just did some more hours, had more team. And so what happens is they double down on the things that have worked in the past. Kind of makes sense, right? Got me here, so let's do more of that. And it is what got them here. But in the process of continuing to try and do everything all at once, by the way, what we often see is salon owners, they burn out and their revenue line actually refuses to budge.
Now, I have to admit, maybe I've been here a few times, the burnout bit, because, you know, you're trying the things. Like, nobody's safe from a little burnout. It's catching it and then knowing what to do, or catching it before you get to burnout and knowing what to do. So the thing is, as you said, is like what got you to 500, 700K, or wherever it is that you're stuck, is exactly the thing that's keeping you from that next leap, right, from 700 to the mil. And I've been here in my salon, I've been here in Growing Salon Owners Collective. You get stuck and you've got to recognize it. And it's exactly now what we help salon owners do, is like make that jump. When you hit the ceiling, bump your head on the ceiling, you've got to do something different. You've got to do something different to get you to somewhere that you haven't been before. And you might be the most committed person in the business. You might be the one that's doing all the things in every conversation, solving every problem, knowing every number, you know, being the standard, the system, being the manager. But managers cap out somewhere between the 500 and 700K a year mark. Like, you just can't go from 700 and arrive at a million doing the same management strategies, the things that got you here. It's just not going to step you into being or becoming a leader. And it's being the leader that's going to take you into that next step between 700 to the mil.
And that's exactly what this episode is all about. The three things that we're going to share with you, they aren't tactics. They're actually the three things that have to be true about how you operate before $1 million is even possible.
Let's just take a step back for a minute. Like, let's just talk about what it is to be in the manager's stage. Like, you're out of the operator, you've got more than two or three team members now, and you're really in the manager's phase. because you've done some of the hard yards, like you've put some fundamental systems in place, you've learned how to attract clients that come to the brand, not just to you. You've started building career pathways, like your people are paid properly. They know what their future is and what that's looking like. You're starting to think about culture by design or deliberately rather than just like, you know, turning up as somebody fabulous and hoping everybody likes it. You've got some financial systems in place, like, you know, you've got some structure there. You're not just winging it around the money. And the growth is starting to come from your team, not just from you. Like, that's an important shift. Like, that you're becoming a real business now. And many salons in this industry don't even get that far. So congratulations. But this is also where you get stuck because you've learned how to do those things and a new ceiling shows up. And because the leader phase has its own traps, like it's got its next set of problems, and most typically or what often happens is that you've now started to build great team members, you've attracted good people, you pay them well, you've got some culture happening, but then the next problem is that that our best people start to leave, and by Joe, just when they finally become profitable. And it's not because the salon isn't working. It's just that you now have to grow or become somebody different than you've been before. You need to become the leader. And otherwise, every problem ends up back on your desk and you stay in that two steps forward, two step cycle. And it's easy to just push harder, work longer, do more, but actually it actually worsens the situation, not making it better or different. So, should we talk about the different kind of work that needs to happen when we start stepping into that leader phase, Joel? Like in this phase, you really need to develop yourself, not just the business.
Yeah, just listening to you then, Russ, there's this quote that I keep seeing around. It's like, if you knew me yesterday, you don't know me anymore. I grow daily. And it's like that's it. It's like, I want to work for someone. Like I'm talking about like through the lens of your team member, like that is evolving and growing and becoming. Like that's aspirational, you know? Like that's part of what makes work, employment, a career, working for someone like you, incredible, you know?
Well, it's like A players want to work for A player bosses or leaders.
True. Be the magnet, eh?
Yeah.
So three things that we want to focus on. And before we dive into those three things, I just want to be really, really clear that in the first instance, as we share these, like the first job is to master them yourself, you've got to do them, you've got to model them, and then you control the results that they produce. And you can go, oh, when I do that, it produces this result. Therefore, now I could possibly systemize that. And then the second thing can occur in the future, but only if you've done the first thing, which is role model it, do it yourself, which is through time, one or all three of what we're about to share with you can absolutely be outsourced, delegated to people that are as good as, if not better than you at doing it. And that's exactly what our $1 million plus boardroomers that I get to work with every single day are doing, is they're using other people now to leverage the things that we're going to talk about with you. But first of all, it's you.
Okay, well, let's talk about the first thing. What's the first thing? Like, what's the number one? Numero uno.
Numero uno is you've got to become a 100K mentor. And so what we find is that most salon owners think the answer to stop being the bottleneck is to let go, to hand it off, to abdicate it, to walk away, to, I'll stay at home today. And why don't I just let the team figure it out? And that's a big fat dead wrong. Like absolutely it's the wrong way. Mentoring is not the thing you delegate. It's the thing you own. And maybe some of you listening to this have actually been mentoring, but my question would be, have you mastered it? Because to go from leading a $700,000 a year business to a $1 million business, you can't be the jack of all trades anymore. And one thing that you absolutely need to be is you need to be a very, very good mentor. One of the ways that I like to think about mentoring is if you're doing it right for the team member, it can actually feel like pressure. Let me explain. Okay, because that's like, oh, I don't want to put pressure on my team. But if you think about it through like a sporting context, which is always a great metaphor for business, or even like someone that's practicing music, for example, if you train in private with high levels of intensity and high levels of scrutiny and high levels of pressure, and you really push yourself to do it excellent, what happens is when your people get into the public arena, there's time, space, and skill that can just actually help the person to really, really flourish. And so mentoring in one way is actually about developing healthy pressure for someone to learn and grow through the skills that you want them to develop so that they can grow and enjoy an incredible career. Does that kind of make sense for us?
Yeah, I love that. And it gives us permission to, you call it healthy pressure. I think it's really important that you said that, because I think too often we're scared of putting pressure on people. She might not like me. She might leave. She might think I'm being mean, because we're kind-hearted souls. That's why we got into this industry, because we love people and we don't want to hurt their feelings. And what you've just done is given us permission to put healthy pressure. I guess it's like the coal that goes under pressure and turns into a diamond. Like, you've got to have some pressure to change the output, change the result.
And not just in the metaphor, but part of the way that we see that this works really, really well is if you flip it and you don't mentor, then what happens is the consult and the service delivery and the rebooking and the home care, that becomes the pressure. And now you've got this backwards conversation occurring where it's like, now we're trying to critique the performance instead of actually critiquing the training, which is the mentoring part, right? And so becoming a 100K mentor is the first part of it. Like, you need to become a 100K mentor. And that's a decision to be a mentor. That's part of what it means to be in the CEO role. The second kind of, I guess, direction there would be mentor often, not seldom. Like, we talk about this a lot, Riss, like monthly workshops and quarterly one-on-ones, that's maintenance, you know, and it's good, but it's just maintenance. If you want to grow your business, you want to step into mentoring and helping your team to develop the skills that they need to win in their role. I think that's really, really important, is that you want to mentor often, not seldom. And finally, I would say that on top of you becoming and making the choice to be a 100K mentor, on top of mentoring often, not seldom, is you actually need skills to mentor. Like, if you think about it, no one likes to be told what to do. Like, no one on the planet, not even kids, right? Like, no, especially adults. Adults don't like to be told what to do. And if you add in the layer of you could be stressed out or overwhelmed or tired, like, that's probably like a good guess that you're one of those three right now. Like, it's not a nice experience to be told what to do by a tired person. And so it's really important that you develop the skills to become a good mentor, because if you prioritize the time to mentor your people and it doesn't work, well, then that is exactly what will keep you at $700,000 a year.
Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though. If you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do, well, don't worry. I've got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call. We'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode. Okay, so you don't grow your business by stepping away from your people is really what you're saying. You're actually growing your business by stepping toward your people more often And then later you can think about getting free from that role if and when you can mentor somebody else to be as good as, so they can become better than you.
Yeah, absolutely, Rish. You absolutely nailed it. Yeah, 100%. So that's the first thing, is become a 100K mentor. So, so important.
Okay, I love that we've chosen that one first, because I think it is the most important thing, and it's easy to let go of when we get busy being busy doing other things. And let's jump into number two, which is the optimized CEO.
Yeah, the optimized CEO. So this would be the thing, the second thing, that you really want to prioritize in a role that used to be, I'm going to do everything all of the time, to now I'm starting to refine that so that we can really, really scale the business. The optimized CEO is exactly what it says on the label. Become a CEO that is optimized. And when I say optimized, I mean optimized for growth, not optimized for fame or pride. Like, you know, when you're the best hairdresser or the best therapist or the best consultant, like all of those things are great, but it's kind of like you can be the best hairdresser or you can have the best business. You can't have both. And I think that's a good way to think about becoming the optimized CEO is, you know, if you're on the floor, who's growing the business?
I'm so glad you asked that. Like, it's actually my favorite question. Like, if you're serving clients, who's actually doing the business stuff? And so a good way to frame it is like every hour that you spend on the floor, you're actually stealing clients and a clientele from your team members. And then in the same breath, you turn around and say, but my team aren't growing and they're not busy. Like, maybe because stealing all of the clients. And every hour that you spend on the floor is an hour nobody's working on growing the business towards that $1 million goal, which you have. And so the floor, the client serving, is not the thing that grows the business. It grows maybe your ego because it makes us feel good. We love our clients. And it grows our busyness. Like, it just makes us more booked and more busy. And being good on the floor doesn't grow your business. It just grows your, you know, by the hour rate. So a strategic CEO needs to have some CEO time, strategic time, and protect it, like protect that, like nothing else. And it might sound boring to be auditing calendars, doing performance reviews, having planning days, doing a game plan with a really clear business strategy and priorities, but that's the stuff that works. We want to be looking for the stuff that works and the things that we don't even know that could work yet that we don't know that we should be doing because we just haven't got there yet. We need to go looking for that stuff. So if that work isn't happening, well, then definitely growth isn't happening. You're just in a maintenance phase. And the one thing I know to be true is that a business never flatlines, or it never flatlines for very long. It's either going up or it's going down. And so if growth isn't happening, you're on the slow trajectory towards a downward pointing arrow. And no amount of being on behind the chair or, you know, in the beauty room is going to change that.
Like, one of the things that I notice about working with our owners that are already past $1 million is they have finally given up, to some extent, to a large extent, on the shiny object syndrome. Like, they are deeply in the boring stuff. Like, I can't wait for game plan. I'm so excited we just game planned. I'm really clear about what I'm focused on. Like, just those really mundane, but it's like what makes your business grow is getting really, really clear about the one thing that you're going to move the needle on. And then the earlier version of them, when they are at, say, $700,000, for example, they haven't optimized their calendar. They don't know what they're doing with their time. They're going to all the workshops and reading all the Instagram reels and following all the things. Like, they're a little bit all, they're not optimized.
It's called spaghetti. You throw the spaghetti at the wall, you see what sticks. And that only gets you so far. I just want to talk about the boring business for a second, Joel, because I believe boring businesses are the most profitable. The problem with boring businesses is that they're boring. And I don't know about you, I love being engaged and entertained and inspired and doing cool stuff. Like, I love shiny, there's nothing more than a shiny object. So I reckon there's this balance. And it's the 80-20 rule, like a lot of things in the world. Like 80% of your job is do what we might call the boring stuff because it works, it grows, we can be consistent. Like, be consistent. I was not born consistent. I had to learn that as a skill. But that means that there's a 20% of like future thinking, shiny objects, test new stuff to see if it's going to work. Like, you've got to have a little bit of the cool stuff that keeps us inspired and engaged. It's the same for our team, because otherwise we'll just all go to sleep and we'll be bored. Yeah.
And you know, as you're doing the boring 80, that's correct, eh? Like, as you're doing the boring, and if you're like, oh, that's so boring, I reckon like two things to focus on that makes boring actually brilliant is what we call the two I's. So impact and income. So what's the impact that you're having on your clients and your team? And what's the income doing? If like, if you're growing, like all of a sudden it's not that boring.
Totally. If you can see payday and it's regular and it's worth it, you will do boring all day. Yep. Well, with a little bit of a sprinkle of some fun, shiny.
A little sprinkle of barley and or EG or something like that.
Yeah, totally. And look, we call it the boring stuff. Like you say, with purpose and profit, it's not that boring. But we just can't stay in shiny object syndrome. Which is actually a really good segue to number three, Joel, which is the systemized business.
Yes, because the one thing
that's true is like, you can't scale your brain. And so if every idea or new thing that you try, and either it works or it doesn't work, lives in your brain, you can't get growth or change or move the business forward, because it's all just living in a chaotic world. You only got room for 20% of trying new stuff, and the rest has to be systems and processes. Like, work out the stuff, how it works, and then turn it into a system, because you can't be the system. Like, you just can't. I've tried it.
Yeah. I think we've all tried it, Riss, you know? I really do. It's like, I'm the system, my brain's the system, my brain's capped out. It's like,
if you wake up at 3 a.m. and you're thinking, worrying, fixing, then this is a good, there's two things that are happening. Either you are trying to be the system and you're holding the whole business up, or you're in a phase of growth and you're just breaking some ceilings and you're going up a level and you're going to break some shit, and then you're going to turn it into a system. Now, I'll just say that because last night, Joel, I got up at 3. We're growing. We're breaking shit. And there's lots going on. And I couldn't get to sleep. And I'm like, I'm just going to get up and do the things. So it does happen. But you want to be doing it because we're in a phase of growth, not because you're stuck at doing that and you just can't see that there's a way out. That's not the good 3 a.m. wake up. And so a salon that runs on memory, whirling ideas, trying to catch everything, like, that's not scalable. And you can't sustain that. That is the road to burnout. And that's definitely not the road to a $1 million salon. And so really the way to go about it is creating time to work out a new strategy, or find the fast track or the fast path to the strategy that works, like something that's proven. Test it, try it, work it out in your own salon, know it, know how it works, then document it. And then once you've documented it, because you're an expert, then you can start training somebody else on that system, whether it's a manager, or it's a front of house, another stylist or a therapist or whatever that is. But you've got to make space for that. Like, don't make Mondays your admin day, make them your business growth day. Because you have to stop being the person that answers every question.
Yeah, we just ran an intensive in March, as you know, Riss. It was all about the systems.
Right.
And I just want to like quickly unpack the like documenting systems. Like, I couldn't agree more. And also, like, we're not talking about sitting behind a computer for hours and hours and hours creating systems that no one reads ever, and it's a waste of time.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
We're talking about, in a very smart, savvy, and efficient way, capturing the decision-making processes that you can only make, and then permeating them through the brains of all of your team members, all of your salon, in a way that allows them to make decisions on behalf of the salon, the values, the culture, or even yourself when you're not there. Like, systems done well, they're going to set you free.
Just on that, systems that are documented on a piece of paper in a folder under front desk is a little bit 1997, if I'm honest. I had one of those in 1997, clear file folder. But what you're talking about is cultural systems and self-leadership inside of the team. And it doesn't mean that it's not documented, but it needs to be in a way that's in the hands, the heart, and the minds of your team, and that they're living and breathing. I'm a little bit passionate about that and want to talk about that because with AI now being around, like, we need to do that in a smart way that is easy and fast for you to do and easy for your team to have access without having to tap you on the shoulder. Like, that is the ultimate goal. And so, yeah, I think that's a good one. And Jemima is our systems and processes AI who builds the systems and processes for you inside of My Salon CEO. And she not only builds them for you, she does document them, but she also puts them into a place and a conversation that your team can have directly with Jemima, or whatever you might want to call her, because you can rename her, rather than having to tap you on your day off.
Yeah, so good. So good. So if you want to go from $700,000 to a million, if you want to scale your business, then becoming a 100K mentor, it scales your people. If you start being an optimized salon CEO, that scales your time. And then, of course, as we've just spoken about, developing a systemized business, it scales your processes, which means your business is now scalable, which is great, which means it can grow beyond what it is, which is important because, as Riss just pointed out, your brain can't scale.
I think that's the punchline. Like, you can't scale your brain. You only have one. All right. Well, look, this is what I want to leave you with today, because if you've been listening in the car, or you've been walking the dog, or you're finishing up at the salon or doing the dishes or something like that, if this any of this landed for you today and you're quietly admitting to yourself that, you know, you are the roadblock to getting to the next level, you are stuck in a bit of a two steps forward, two steps cycle back and forth, like, don't sit on that. It's exactly what Joel and I do inside of Salon Mastery. We help people that are stuck in the manager's phase get to the leader phase, and those leaders transition out of the leader phase and get to the CEO phase so they can reach the million-dollar goal. And as we talked about today, mastering those three ingredients, among others, of course, building and leveraging your people, your time, and your processes, so you stop being the one staring at your laptop on a Sunday night looking at the money that's the same as last year and probably the year before, and start, you know, feeling confident that you're in the year that's actually going to shift and actually going to change. So if that's you, well, hey, would love to talk to you. And this is my invitation to book a call with either myself or one of my team. The link to do that is in the show notes of this episode. But to be honest, it's everywhere. It's like, it's on Instagram, it's on Facebook, it's on the website. And if you're stuck, just DM me. But let's have a real conversation. Like, this is not a sales pitch. This is about, like, where are you? Where are you stuck? And I'll tell you, honestly, whether Salon Mastery is the right fit for where you're at now. And if it is, the goal is for you to walk away with knowing, like, what is the next step for you over the next 12 weeks, but also what is the pathway over the next 12 months? What could that look like? And if you've done the hard yards already to get to the manager's phase, like, the salon's working, the fundamentals are sorted, but maybe they're not, like, don't waste another year being the bottleneck to your own growth. The next chapter is becoming the leader of your team so you can build the million-dollar salon. All right. I'll leave that link in the show notes. Thanks for that, Joel. It was good. That was a good sesh.
The three things.
Okay, till next time. We'll see you same time, same place next week on the podcast. Ciao for now.
Ciao.